This episode of Robin's Podcast is sponsored by Sensible Portions. Sensible Portions garden veggie straws are deliciously crunchy, a better-for-you snack that the whole family is going to love. Sensible Portions garden veggie straws have a flavor for every taste, like fiery, spicy, screaming hot, whoa, or tangy, zesty ranch. And they've just launched two new flavors, barbecue and sour cream and onion. Sensible Portions garden veggie straws have a light and airy texture, and get this, they have 30% less fat than leading potato chips, so you can snack both sensible and delicious. It's a perfect on-the-go snack for kids to take back to school. And Sensible Portions has also come out with a new product, Sensible Portions Garden Veggie Puffs, which are baked and never fried. It's a perfect poppable snack, and it comes in three delicious flavors: white cheddar, sour cream and onion, and screaming hot. Ah, no artificial preservatives, flavors, or colors. That's Sensible Portions. So head on over to amazon.com/sensible portions to try Sensible Portions garden veggie straws and new garden veggie puffs. That's amazon.com/sensible portions.
The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor know-it-alls. Survivor know-it-alls.
Yes, that's right. The Survivor Know-It-Alls are back. And boy, Steven, did we get one hell of a great Survivor episode tonight?
Great Survivor episode. So much fun. And not for nothing, had very little to do with advantages.
Yes. Bounce back week. I know from all the podcasts, from all of the social media discourse, everybody's like, what is this? What is this? This is not too many dead votes.
I've been hearing a lot too. Like, just like, you know, man on the street interviews, the people who go talk to Jeff, they're coming to me afterwards.
Not my Survivor.
Yeah. They like, it's over. This is not the Survivor I grew up with. But the nice thing about Survivor fans is like, you give them one good episode and they're like, yes, we're back. This is it. We're great again.
Yeah. This is a nice bounce back episode, I thought, for the show. And no need to bounce back for me. I've been enjoying the season thus far. But this was, you know, a really great episode. Strongest of the season so far. A lot to unpack here with Shan and her decision to send out JD. We will break that all down tonight. If you have Survivor questions, of course, we always appreciate them. robhasawebsite.com/survivorquestions. Steven, a huge week coming up on the podcast.
Tell me.
Of course, in addition to getting to talk with the legendary Steven Fishback tonight.
Oh, wow. I thought that I was, wow. I mean, yeah, huge 50 minutes coming up for the two of us.
Yeah. I will speak with JD tomorrow. And so sad to see JD go.
He was so fun.
I thought he was going to be around for the whole season. So a little shocked to lose him tonight in the way that we lost him from the season. And then tomorrow, I have the pleasure of talking with one of the all-time greats. Parvati Shallow will be our guest to talk about everything Survivor 41. So really looking forward to that. And then that's not all, Steven. Don't just unsubscribe after that, because
I thought
then
it was going to be that one thing, those two things.
No. Don't just leave after that one, because Rory Freeman will be my guest this week.
You're really going into the archives here.
Yeah. We had a great talking with T-Bird with Rory, so I'm going to catch up with Rory. You'll hear that on Friday. And then I'll get into your feedback questions with a certain Reem Daly.
No.
Yes. Wow. It's going to be a great week.
You should have Jay, you and JD, when you have your talk, should compete to see who can do the better Reem impression.
Yeah. You know, they only give us 15 minutes. It's, you know, that's the sad part of it all. And then, of course, Monday nights, I always take questions from the patrons of this podcast on our Patreon Q&A. LaTanya Starks will join me on Monday night at 7 Eastern if you want to get your questions in, anything you didn't hear on the podcast. Of course, that's at robinsonwebsite.com/patron. But Stephen, this is really, really interesting and fun to unpack. First off, I thought that just like the editing was all so on point tonight. I thought this was just a really fun show. And I think we have a lot to chew on here with this decision for Shan and, I guess, to some degree, Ricard. So, Stephen, was this the right call?
I'm on the fence. I think the answer is yes, but I was not expecting, like, going in to that tribal council, I was thinking, God, it would be dumb to cut JD, who is a loyal ally, over a stupid, you know, extra vote in your pocket, which is not worth that much. But then thinking about it, I thought to myself, you know, JD's has got a lot of flashy moves that are consistently blowing up in his face. There's 12 people left. They have to be expecting a merge any day now, right? 12? Yeah, 12. 12? Yeah, 12. 14.
No, 13.
14 people. 13. Okay, well, 13 people left. They have to be expecting a merge any day now. And I would be nervous about going into a merge with JD. This is a guy who talks all the time about how he wants to make his big moves, how he wants to like have a big impact on the game. That's not what I want in an alliance member. Mm-hmm. You know, Genie, there's some bad blood, but like, I bet the bad blood is pretty healed. You know, like they voted out her ally. They didn't tell her. I bet like not voting her out tonight probably brings her pretty much back in the fold.
You know, it's interesting to get these two tribal councils in a row with Brad and JD because, you know, we have a lot of questions from the different podcast conversations that we had. And I felt like, okay, we sort of like talked things through from, okay, getting rid of Brad. And the reason to get rid of Brad was that because we had the same conversation last week. Well, should Shan have voted out JD to keep his extra vote last time? And what I had sort of come away from the week feeling like was, well, yeah, you get his one extra vote now, but if you can control JD, you have his extra vote every round that he's in the game. And so my question is that, look, I love the television of it, but what happened tonight to make Shan feel like that, no, now we have to get rid of JD?
Well, again, like, so first of all, last week,
he blew the challenge. He blew the challenge. I mean, Brad was not celebrated the way that, you know, it was for other people blowing the challenges.
Yeah, exactly.
It's weird. Survivor is a crazy show. Sometimes,
let's talk about
sometimes
that.
Sometimes you do Man of the Challenges and everybody's like, oh my God, you're amazing.
What a hero.
And sometimes you do
Man
of the Challenges and like, you idiot. You blew the challenge.
Yeah. And, you know, I have strong feelings about that.
We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it.
The Brad thing. So last week with the Brad thing, I thought that Brad was the more loyal ally. You keep the more loyal ally. You keep the more reliable partner in your alliance. JD was more erratic. And Shen, I thought like the extra vote was more of like a bonus. I don't think you're voting out JD for the extra vote. I think it's like a nice to have in what is otherwise still a pretty clear decision, which obviously Shen has agreed with me about. This week too, I think JD is, you know, someone who is clearly tight with Shan, but it's just, I would be so worried about him. You know, he wants to play hard. He wants to make big moves. He wants to like be a big iconic Survivor player. He's not the guy who's going to vote the party line every week. And, you know, obviously a lot depends on how much the wound of Brad has healed with Genie, but like, it's like 2 days later, 3 days later, you know, and they've all voted together. I'm betting it's healed. So, I mean, this way, Shan gets to maybe control Genie's vote every week, a more reliable vote than JD's, and gets JD's extra vote, which again is like it's like the icing. It's not even as good as icing. It's like a finger full of
Can
icing.
Can I be honest? I think icing's a little overrated. I mean, it's not a big icing. That's I don't really like.
You're eating the wrong cupcakes.
Yeah. Yeah. So did Shan do the right thing, but do it in the wrong order? Where should that, like, was this week the proof that she should have voted out JD last time?
Yeah. And also, I mean, felt like something was missing from that immunity challenge, you know, maybe like a 6'4" giant dude, like maybe that could have contributed to your triumph in the immunity challenge.
Had a little bit more reach on the ring toss, you think?
Yeah, a little more like, and with like the pushing of the logs, you know, getting more like horizontal push, you know, with those long arms.
Okay.
Yeah. And just with the water movement, you know, probably a long stroke. you know.
Sure.
Actually, let me say this to you, Rob, because this is, you know, I think when people stopped saving the challenge beasts, I think, you know, everyone was sort of like, felt like, oh my God, we're liberated from this sort of conventional thinking of like, oh, we don't need to keep big challenge players around. You know, let's vote them out now. And if our tribe loses, we'll vote out other people. I'm wondering if that's gone too far. You know, like to some degree in early Survivor, you do need to win challenges. And I feel like that is like completely, everyone's lost sight of that. You know, they're voting off all of the giant men. It's not, you know, well, you need giant men.
I don't know if they've voted off all of the giant men.
Well, they're voting off some giant men.
I mean, they voted off Brad.
Brad among
yes,
them.
Yes.
And Voce, he was not a giant man. Really,
not necessarily a giant man, but
more of a challenge performer than Tiffany was.
Yeah, I do think that maybe the Survivor players are underrating the challenge performance here with the Tribes of Six, because, you know, that's basically like with smaller tribes, you know, having somebody who is going to be, you know, somebody who's going to help you win, you know, is like a bigger percentage of the tribe. So, you know, I think there's some merit there.
Yeah, I mean, I just, again, like, I thought it was, I mean, I think there used to be this sort of, like, very cookie-cutter way you progress through the season, where early on you voted off the more physically weak players, and then you, at the merge you voted off the strong players, and it's been very exciting over the past couple seasons to see that, like, kind of, like, you know, deconstructionist Survivor kind of strategy take over, where, you know, at any point in time we can vote off anybody. But again, like, your tribe needs challenge anchors, and, like, Giant Men is, you know, a metonym. We're not literally talking about just Giant Men. We're just talking about the strong challenge performers. Right among them.
Yes. Yeah. How much do you think the shot in the dark contributed to this outcome tonight?
That's a good question. I mean, do you really think that it was like they were so worried about Jeannie's shot in the dark that they decided to switch their vote to JD, who had no thought that it was coming? But Jeannie didn't play her shot in the dark,
she
right?
Did like, she did yeah, not. Yeah. And I think that part of the reason of, you know, getting Jeannie on board with that is that you prevent her from playing the shot in the dark, at least this time. I kind of was thinking that it could be JD, but I thought that maybe we would see, like maybe get, if you got Jeannie to, vote for JD, I'm trying to think of, you know, if you got Jeannie to play her vote for JD, if Shannon Ricard voted for Jeannie and she played her shot in the dark, then it would be like having, you know, flushing an idol where then, you know, it would still be JD who would go home.
But Jeannie could not both play the shot in the dark and vote for JD.
That is very correct. So again, we're learning all this stuff on the fly.
I mean, you know, one of us.
Yes. Okay. Very knowledgeable on the shot in the dark. Yeah. So very interesting to see how JD is the person to go home here tonight.
Wait, so what do you think? Do you think it's the right move for Shan? You know, I feel like I kind of, you know, opined.
It's really hard because again, I love like the theater of it all. And I love like what a character she is on the show. But to me, I just feel like, you know, I guess the problem is for Shan, like everybody is super loyal to you. Like she's on a tribe with at least four people and potentially five people who are all like, I am completely loyal to Shan. Shan is my person. And so in that case, like, what do you do when everybody is loyal to you?
Yeah. And clearly, you know, I saw a lot of people on Twitter saying now in two successive episodes, she's discarded her, you know, most loyal ally, but actually no, like as you say, everyone is her most loyal ally. And if like, you know, you're everyone's number one, it's actually not that much of a premium. It was a very funny scene at the very start of the episode where Shan, you know, was trying to heal the rift with Jeannie and said to her, you know, Jeannie, you weren't Brad's number one because I'm his number one. Here's a secret that I have about Brad. Here's a secret I have about you. Here's a secret I have about you. And everyone's like, wait a second. Aren't I your number one? Wait, like you're his number one and her number one. Like, where do I fit into all this?
So I think that probably what we have to look at is like, what does Shan value in an ally? And by looking at the people that she's kept in Ricard, in Jeannie, I think she really values people who can avoid the messy gameplay.
I agree with that.
Sort of like, okay, look, I can't work with somebody who is running around and spying on people and, you know, creating disturbances, not really following through on what they say they're going to do, like a JD. So I think that she is looking for people that she feels like that she can at least predict what they're going to do next.
And she doesn't want the people with the advantages. You know, she is really selected against them. Brad had two, gone. You know, JD had one, you know, took it, and now he's gone. And I think there is that. I think that's the sort of a part with what you're saying, where Shan is choosing to work with people who maybe are not scrambling all over the beach, you know, looking for their little edge. You know, she's like forming her little sort of strategic coterie and not necessarily, you know, wanting to partner with the big players.
And for Shan, good for her. We saw that it was JD who went and got an extra vote, but it turned out to be a steal a vote for Shan.
Different advantage.
So, Stephen, at the start of the episode, we saw Shan give the extra vote back to JD. Was that a mistake that she then doubled back and fixed to give him back the extra vote?
Well, he asked for it back. I think that at the point that the person who, you know, especially when it's nighttime right after the vote happens, you know, you can't, like, that's like when everything is like the most in flux, right? Like that's when new episode, new vote, like you don't want to like piss someone off right at that moment. So I think that, yeah, you got to give it. JD's asking for it back. You got to give it back. Mm-hmm. And his rationale was completely legitimate. I mean, you know, his confessional where he said, oh, Shan is keeping all these secrets from me and I'm supposed to be completely forthright with her. Like, what the heck? You know, that seems like a bit of a double standard.
So did JD make the mistake in giving it back to Shan for the second time?
I mean, pretty clearly he did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What does he do in that spot? Say that, you know,
I think so. I mean, the whole, like, I don't know, that was, it was such a fun segment where Shan was acting super paranoid and you know, running up and, you know, secretly like whistling the Shan. What's the joke? Yeah, but what's the, like, it's called her Shantham. Then with JD, she's acting like she's nuts and that he's going to, you know, she's worried he's going to blindside her. And the only way for him to prove his loyalty to her is to give over the advantage. And as many people on Twitter had noted, it's very reminiscent of another major moment in Survivor history.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll talk about that tomorrow with Parvati. What do you say? Like, can you give me the, like, if you're JD, how do you, like, artfully tell Shan, you know, thanks, but no thanks?
Well, not if I'm JD. I don't do it artfully.
Okay, well, if you're Stephen Fishback.
Well, I think that too. I think we're both screwed. I don't know, because you're like, it's just such an insane request. I think you just have to say, you know, this advantage is for us. I thought that was great, by the way, with where JD said, I'm not going to be the idiot who leaves as the idiot who left his advantage at camp during tribal council where he could have used it. When JD said, like, I'm not going to be the idiot who leaves his advantage at camp. You know, I was really touched by that. Of course, then he was the idiot who gave away his advantage, which is an even worse idiot. Mm-hmm. So
are you saying that you left your advantage at camp?
I did. Yes.
When Jeremy played the idol on you?
Yeah. Had I had the advantage, I would not have hated the idol. My whole game, I would have won that season.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I don't know, because it's such an insane request. And it really, I don't think we've ever seen a request like that was made in good faith. Have we? Like, we've seen many times where people say, if you give me this, then I will save you. And almost every one of those cases, that person is then immediately voted out, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, obviously there's Eric, there's Brandon Hance, you know, there's like Marty Piombo
Ryan
idol.
Clark with Aurora did it in good faith, even though he thought about voting her out. So, I mean, there have been times where, you know, it goes okay, but, you know, it's very hard to say, yeah, you know what? I don't trust you. I'm going to hold on to it.
Or like, I trust you, but like, I just want this in my pocket. You know, tribal council is crazy. Anything could happen. And I want to be able to like pull this out if something goes wrong.
The problem was, I think that not so much that he, he said yes the first time, you know, like, that he said once you've said yes the first time, it's like, well, why won't you do it now? So like, you gotta like not break that seal and say, if you say like, hey, look, I promised my parents before I left, I would never let anybody hold my advantages, and I can't do that. But he already let her do it once. And so it's like, well, why not this time? You don't trust me? So JD really, you know, backed himself in the corner, really, from the first time that he said yes. This was a very fun episode as well, with everything going on on the Luwu tribe as well, Stephen, where we saw the attempt to throw the challenge by Deshaun, who really did almost everything in his power to get his tribe to lose, and they still ended up pulling it out.
Tying instead of untying the knots was pretty extreme. And I thought he was going to find the board with the key. I thought that's actually where I thought it was going to. Did you know? Like, I couldn't tell if, like, is this going to be they failed to throw the challenge, or is this going to be like, successfully through the challenge?
I had been feeling all week that they're going to fail to throw the challenge. And it was just a little bit of like preview reading on my part that I felt like that they showed us in the preview that, okay, is Luwu going to throw a challenge? And I kind of felt like, probably not.
Super fun.
Yeah.
Like, it's very rare. Someone was commenting on Twitter to see confessionals within a challenge. Like, yes. Very rare. And super fun. I loved it. Like, it was such a, like, as Survivor is experimenting more with the editing, I thought it was such a fun, way of showing the strategy of that moment. And then just like the comedy of that moment too.
Typically, we only get it when a survivor is like trying to go for an advantage in one of the challenges.
Yeah. Or like, I mean, have there been any with like the failed throws? No, I mean, there have been some failed throws.
I think that maybe Drew Christie might have gotten a confessional in the episode where he threw the challenge and got voted out. Mm. You know, I think in that case, you could see it. But, you know, both Erica and Heather had been the two players that we had not seen really fleshed out at all yet this season. And we got a heavy dose of both Erica and Heather tonight.
Yeah. I mean, Erica looks bad, right? But I think that, I mean, what's interesting about Luwu this season is that it's typically not great to be the winning tribe. And, you know, I thought that Deshaun had some great points of, hey, if we don't lose, we're going to go into the merge. We're going to be this, like, the six Luwus, and it's going to be an easy vote for them to say, let's go after those guys. So throwing a challenge, as painful as that might be, will really decrease our threat. And it would, right? They would have been then, you know, just one up on the other two tribes.
Yeah, yeah, I think that was a really astute point from Deshaun, where in a three tribe season, the worst thing that you can do is come into the merge and be, have the majority of numbers in your particular tribe, because the other two tribes will bond together, because it's like, hey, we need each other to be, ahead of them. Ideally, you sort of want to come into the three tribe season at the merge and be sort of like whatever the tribe with the most people, like minus one, and then be able to pair up with the other tribe with less people and then have a new majority.
Yeah. And I thought that like a 26-day season might actually help prevent, big tribe syndrome, where like the dominant tribe just goes crazy and falls apart. And I actually think to some degree that has happened. You know, we haven't seen, even with like the little bit of like Erica shenanigans, we haven't seen the animosity on Luwu that we have in with Tandang, with like all of the drama between RC and Abby, and in a lot of these big tribes, there's just like, the tribes that never lose, there's just so much interpersonal loathing. And then when there is that merge, someone inevitably jumps ship. Like, I don't see that necessarily happening on Luwu. I don't see Erica, jumping ship from Luwu just because she couldn't get Sydney out, but it does. I mean, every tribe has its dissension. Every tribe has plots that don't work out. Every tribe has someone trying to get one person out and that gets back to someone else. I mean, bad luck for Erica that the people she trusts don't like her more than they like the other person, but that's not necessarily a strategic flaw, or is it? Do you think that Erica did something wrong? I mean, other than like trusting the wrong person, like she doesn't know that they like Sydney more than her.
Yeah, she threw out a name. I think Deshaun did a good job of sort of like roping her in and making her feel comfortable enough. And that did end up blowing up badly on Erica. I don't know if she did anything terribly wrong. This is going to be an interesting group. If they go to a tribal council, we've seen Nasir's name thrown out. We've seen Sydney's name, or we've seen a lot of Sydney in sort of like a negative light. We have seen Erica's name thrown out there. We have Heather, who has been, somebody who has certainly had some struggles in the challenges. I have no idea how this tribe is going to vote.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like now they would vote for Erica. Like, that seemed pretty.
But do they have a majority? Do they have four?
Well, I think it certainly looks like Deshaun, Danny, and Sydney are a tight three.
At least
right?
three. But who else yeah. do they have?
But I mean, Nasir is not necessarily, you know, that we haven't seen any like bonds between Nasir and Erica or mm-hmm. anyone and Heather, you know. So I think I think with three, you know, and a tight three, I think you kind of assume that they're going to be the ones who do call the shots. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You would think, and not too tough to find a four, but we haven't seen like any strategic conversation with Heather other than a secret scene. Did you happen to see the secret scene with Heather?
No, tell me.
It's pretty wild. Heather had a dream that Sydney stole her torch.
I saw this. Yes, I did see this, actually. So, the one secret scene I've seen all season.
But it turned out that wasn't even real. She made that up because she doesn't like Sydney.
Yeah, I mean, that was a quite strange choice on Heather's part, right? To not only target someone, like her way of like excusing the fact that she's targeting the person is to say that she dreamed it. But doesn't that make her seem like an erratic ally? Someone who's just going to be swayed by her dreams. Mm-hmm. Heather's rationale.
But it wasn't even real. It was a fake dream. Yeah.
Right. Right. But Heather's rationale was, if I tell people that I'm having these dreams, maybe it will sort of surface these other bad vibes people have about Sydney.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
we'll see. Interesting strategy. We'll see how it pays off.
Yeah, we just haven't seen any evidence that say like Nasir, Heather, and Erica are a three.
Right, which it could be. Obviously, both Heather and Erica don't like Sydney. You know, we don't know what, Sydney doesn't like Nasir. So maybe there's or depends on the week. Sometimes Sydney doesn't like Nasir.
Yeah.
But hey, speaking of Nasir, what a fun episode for Nasir. What a great episode.
Yeah. He pulled it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just like beating the entirety as I not just, you know, just single-handedly winning the challenge in spite of like his whole tribe working against him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good job to Nasir. I want to circle back to Heather, who really struggled in the reward challenge. We had a reward challenge this week. I got to be honest, I wasn't thrilled to see a reward challenge come back. I kind of thought the direction of the season was, oh, hey, we're picking up the pace. We're not going to do reward challenges. Yeah. I know that some people would say, yeah, but at least they didn't go to Shipwheel Island.
Yeah, that's how I felt.
Yeah. So I guess
it didn't go to Shipwheel
maybe
Island.
It was the lesser of two evils, but I kind of felt like that, you know, other than seeing Heather struggle, I feel like that the actual reward challenge didn't add too much. But boy, they made such a meal out of Heather struggling in the reward challenge.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you don't find it inspirational, you shouldn't even apply to Survivor.
Yeah,
like,
I really
not the right show for you.
I really don't get it. What we're like, what is the message here of Survivor? Where it used to be, I mean, I'm sure that there are players. And I saw what you said on Twitter. Like, I'm sure Chet is somewhere watching Survivor. Like, where was this when I played? When Dan Liu couldn't walk across the balance beam, there was no like, hey, we are staying here all day today until we give Dan Liu a round of applause for him and Ryan. They got over the balance beam. They did it.
Yeah, I hit another team's target. Like, that's epic sucking. Like, why did I not get a standing ovation, Rob?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, if Heather thinks she sucks, you know, what about me? I really sucked.
Yeah.
In terms of like, well, you know, I mean, she did try. And what was cool about it was the way that her tribe kind of was cheering her on. You know, and that was like the neat thing was that, you know, especially Danny was just like, you know, we're here. Like, keep trying, keep going. You know, you've got this. And it didn't seem like, I mean, like that kind of high stress, you know, sometimes almost bullying, not mm-hmm. bullying, that's a loaded word, but like, you know, the intense, you know, shouting that sometimes can accompany, you know, challenge flubs. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's a little bit weird that it becomes like an inspirational moment when someone really sucks at something. I mean, it is kind of, it was cool like to see her doing it. And again, to see her tribe rally around her and not be pissed at her and to be there for her. Again, like, much easier mm-hmm. when you're the winning tribe and like actively considering throwing challenges anyway.
And look, in Winners at War, I think Michelle Fitzgerald struggled mightily with this very similar challenge where she really beat herself up and she really struggled with it. And then she came back and won the next immunity challenge. And so, you know, like, doesn't mean anything if you struggle in one particular challenge, it's just not your thing. But yeah, I just thought it was curious that they made such a meal out of it. Like, I understand when you have like a legend like Ceri, and it's like, okay, Ceri is such an inspirational figure. But I mean, this is really all we've seen from Heather.
With Ceri too, it was weird because she finished the challenge. I mean, they made her finish the challenge after even the challenge was over, mm-hmm. right? Like, that was very strange. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because obviously the demographic is middle-aged women who have been often, you know, really, you know, shat upon, right? Certainly it's like a tough demo to be on Survivor, right? Where like, mm-hmm. you know, a lot often getting, you know, getting to the end, they receive like no credit for, you know, no strategic credit. They get either to be, you know, blamed as, either, you know, people who were carried or who were, you know, too manipulative and vicious, you know, like with like Dawn or Christy. Oh my God. What, how am I, you know, my brain mm-hmm. just stopped.
Yeah.
So I think it is a very difficult demographic to be a part of. And I do think like that kind of adds to, I mean, on Survivor. And I think that adds to why these moments are inspirational when, you know, it's not, you know, seeing a ripped 20-year-old, you know, athlete complete a challenge is not inspirational, but seeing someone who's really out of their comfort zone do something. I just don't like the double standard. You know, I just want the applause, Rob. That's what mm-hmm. I'm saying. Why don't I get the applause too?
Maybe one day, Stephen.
Yeah.
And maybe you need to really like bomb out, like a really like,
I have.
Mm, okay. Yeah. I mean, and on the other side of the spectrum here is Tiffany, who really struggled with some of the challenges earlier this season. Look at Tiffany. Can't stop her now.
She aced it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, not a lot really going on over at the Yasa tribe. It seems like that they really figured things out so much that their story is now them talking about how, like, the previously on Survivor is that they figured things out.
Yeah, which they're the little turtles that could.
Mm-hmm.
That was That was a very fun scene.
You like that?
It's always great. I did like that. I like it when, like, the actual nature of the island. I mean, like, I think everyone, you know, one of everyone's favorite scenes was the elephants in Gabon, right? Like, such a cool moment when they're, like, in a confessional and, like, Ace is like, oh my God, look. And there's, like, elephants walking by. I don't know. That's one of my favorite moments in the show. And I think that's such, like, it's just, like, such a reminder that they are in these, you know, uninhabited places, that they are surrounded by the jungle and by wildlife. And so I thought that I loved that little moment, and like maybe they hit it a little bit hard, you know, but that's okay. It's mm-hmm. you know, it's a show for kids. It doesn't have to be like all subtle interweaving of themes.
Okay. And then one other thing, we'll take some questions as well here with Steven. So how about our new friend, Nathan, the wilderness guide?
Very fun.
Where does he rank all time for you with different people that came to the tribe? Could he be the new GOAT?
Rupert? Oh, the new what?
The greatest of all time.
Wow. Well, I mean, obviously the Bushman and Caramel I mean, Rupert obviously was the greatest of all time.
Well, I have to say the thought did cross my mind when Jeff talked
maybe
about
Joe.
Probably not. Jeff did talk about how, like, and somebody, you're going to get a visit from somebody that really knows what they're doing out here. And my mind was like racing like through the Rolodex of like, wait, no, Cochran. It couldn't be. Well, I'm like, is this like Boston Rob is going to come out? Like, I just was wondering, like, who is the person that they could, you know, bring out, like, you know, Ozzy, you know, who is the person that could show up? Like, would they do that? But no, it was just a local.
Yeah. Which is, you know, a lot better and fun because it also, not only did it feed the tribe, but it also sort of played into the strategy where Jeannie had just earlier been cursing them out, saying she wasn't going to feed them anymore. And then they have, you know, an actual person who knows how to truly feed them come in and they're like, well, maybe we don't need your, you know, harvesting skills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jeannie said, that's it. I'm out. I quit. Yeah. I'm not going to do it anymore. And then they said, Ricard felt like, oh, remember 5 minutes ago when Jeannie said she wasn't going to cook anymore? And we flashed back to that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And it turned out that, okay, here is, here's Nathan. I wonder if we'll see Nathan in any more seasons.
Yeah, I mean, he's clearly, they've got him. I mean, recurring guy would be good. I like that idea quite a lot.
Yeah. You like that. So maybe like every season somebody could win Nathan.
Yeah. Nathan. Like, and he becomes like a real, I like that. I like that a lot, Rob.
Okay. Okay. Steven, let's see. Let's take some questions from the listeners of Rob's podcast.
Why not? Yeah. Those are great listeners to listen to.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. First question. Steven, Garrett Power wants to know, is this season in need of a swap? Are you hoping that we come back next Wednesday and we swap the tribes?
I I've actually really been enjoying letting the tribes suffer from their decision making. You know, I think that a lot of decisions are made because of a swap. That I think that's also sort of where this idea that you don't necessarily need to keep around some of these more physical players comes from too, is like, well, we're going to swap anyway. We're not ultimately going to be that harmed by that person being absent. We might be harmed by them being on the other tribe. I think swaps are lots of fun. I'm really enjoying watching these tribes whittle down and kind of become smaller and smaller, and then just like having to face off against, you know, two other people. Like, where do we go from here? I think that's a really fun dynamic to watch play out.
So I agree. I'm not longing for a swap, but we are at a point now where, okay, Luvu has six.
Yeah.
Ua has three.
Yeah.
Yasa has four. Next week, if we lose somebody from, say, first of all, if we lose somebody from Genie, for instance, we're going to go down to two. We're going to have two, like, at that point, would they send one person to one tribe and one person to the other? Do you think we would see a swap at that point? Or if it was,
we've
like,
seen it.
Would they let them play it out with 6-3-3?
Yeah, why not go down to two? I mean, we've seen it before. Like, let I mean, if the tribes are going to make decisions,
not in three tribes, where we, I mean, basically, when they got down to two on Matt Singh, they, you know, they basically
they split. Yeah.
Yeah, they split.
But I mean, I guess the challenges probably are intended for more than two people. So having like the whole tribes sit out for, you know, having four people sit out from Luvu would be not so
you know,
fun.
We've seen it in Survivor Palau, but that was two tribes at that point.
Right. Bigger tribes. I mean, I assume that they would do that. They would split the tribe. I mean, we've seen that. I mean, my guess is that they merge at 12. I would imagine.
You think so? I was going to ask you that because you said earlier that you felt like that the merge is only days away. I think that we're not going to merge until like 9 or 10. I mean,
really?
It's only like, what was it? Day 8, day 9?
That's wild. That's so wild. They said that, day 8. And like, we're four episodes. I mean, normally we'd be on like day 15. It's really wild that like, they're only a week in. And again, I think that actually helps the dominant tribe because there's less time for those tensions to fester. Like, not going to tribal council for 8 days, like that's actually not that abnormal. You know, in a normal season, you might easily not go to tribal council for 8 days, but not going for 2 weeks is something else entirely.
Mm-hmm. So my thinking has been that we'll get a merge around like day like 15, 16, and then have like tribal council like close to every day. Maybe they might like space it out a little bit differently.
I would think with the merge, you want a little bit more time for people, you know, stuff to stir. Like certainly the first episode, like people are just meeting each other. There's a lot of stuff happens. You don't want to, you know, go straight to tribal from that.
Yeah. So we'll see how many episodes more until we get the merge. But pick a number out of the hat from 1 to 26. What day is the merge on?
I think it's soon. I think it's like 10 or 11 or whatever. Oh, no. So we weren't 8. And I guess probably someone else was voted out like 9. Mm-hmm. I think like 12 or 13. I mean, the halfway point wouldn't be crazy, right? Yeah, like 13.
Yeah. On a normal season, you know, you would have it around day 19,
halfway point,
20.
18,
so,
19. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, I think that's I would, if I had to guess, it's maybe a little bit later, like maybe like 15, 16, but we'll see as we go along. All right, Stephen, what does Melissa have to say?
All right, Melissa wants to know, is throwing a challenge ever a good idea?
Is this from Eliza?
Guys, is throwing a challenge ever a good idea, especially for, I can't even do Eliza, especially for a game like Survivor where your safety is never guaranteed and a vote can flip last minute? I think it is.
Was it the right call for Luvu this week?
I think it really was. I think Deshaun's thinking was very strong. You know, get rid of someone like Erica, who, on the other hand, Erica has been a real anchor for them, like a beast for them, like a positive, a good performer, anchor in a positive way during challenges. She's been a real puzzle master. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the danger is you vote one person out and then you sort of start to spiral, like something about the thing that was clicking no longer clicks, you know, and that could be losing a puzzle master. But I think it's the game of Survivor is winning $1 million on day 39/26. It's not winning the challenge on day 8. So I'm all about, you know, throw the challenge if that makes more strategic sense. I think it did.
Yeah,
the
issue is just that then you never know like when you're going to give the other group momentum where now it's like, okay, great. Well, we don't want to go into the merge with numbers. And now you end up like, well, now you're going to the merge where, you know, you've lost two or three challenges in a row.
Yeah, well, exactly. And momentum is so much a part of the show, you know, and a part of each individual tribe's, you know, going into each of these challenges, if they go in feeling defeated, you know, that's going to contribute. So I do see that. I mean, where do you think too, that the choice to throw was the right choice, even if they failed to do it.
I'm trying to think for this particular group, was it the right choice to throw it? You know, it's so hard to tell because we don't have all of the information with, you know, what else is going on there. But, if you're for Deshaun and Danny and Sydney, if they feel like that they have it and then they could lose, Erica, they could lose Heather. You know, I don't have any problem with it.
Yeah. I mean, I think just like knowing, I mean, like theoretically you want to keep everyone, but like empirically, as Deshaun knows, you don't want to keep everybody, you know, the tribe that goes into the merge with the most numbers almost never, maybe more than almost like, I mean, and on a three tribe season, like never wins. Is that right? I don't know if that's true. I think that's probably true.
I mean, I have to think it.
What
through.
About old, Amber? Did they want to go into the merge with the, most numbers?
In Survivor All-Stars?
Yeah.
Well, it's a little wacky with like they dissolved Saboga and Jenna Lewis and Rupert basically became Shapira. So it's a little bit of a different equation. Okay.
Yeah.
Steven, Chris Snyder wants to know, is a fish a good reward? They must have exerted a lot more energy for it than they got back.
A fish can go a long way though in a fish stew. You know, and it's true, like either way, they're exerting the energy though, but to get like the protein of, and that was like, that was a decently sized fish. That was, you know, that wasn't a minnow.
Yeah.
I thought that was, I mean, it's not a great reward. It's not having, you know, Nathan come to your camp, but
yeah, I just they have to carry a dead fish around for, like on the boat or travel back with it. Like, here's your fish.
Do you think they like put it on ice for them? You know,
didn't seem like it.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a good question.
Yeah.
Hopefully because otherwise it might get a little, yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of fish, did you have a fishy for tonight?
Oh, you know, I actually hadn't thought of it. Normally I come in, with, I guess Shan, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, for once,
be hard
once again,
to go
being
in a
everybody's
different
direction. Best friend.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, but the question is this a better move for Shan or is it a better move for Ricard? I think it's a better move for Shan because Jeannie and Ricard have a little bit of bad blood. So I think probably Shan is the winner tonight.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How about this question, Steven? How about one from Mac from Applebee's?
Oh, Matt.
One of your favorites.
I love Applebee's. The merge with two tribes that are at very low numbers. Do you think Yasa and Ua will team up or will Luvu split up and take sides with the other tribes?
I love Applebee's.
I think the former. I think Yasa and Ua will probably team up.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of like the synergy there between the two tribes. And, you know, we've seen from Shipwheel Island. So we know that there was a little bit of a friendship between Deshaun and Evie. Don't know, like JD was the representative that went and was there at the same time as Xander. So nobody really has met from those groups. So, but maybe just like numerically, you know, it feels like that they could get something going.
Yeah. Well, Danny and Xander met, right?
Is that Danny and Xander did meet, but yeah. But nobody from Ua and the current Yasa,
right? And because Sydney met Brad, and then Sydney met Tiffany,
yeah,
and that didn't seem like necessarily a love connection,
yeah. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they can't work together; it just means that they don't know each other yet.
Yeah. Well. I mean, it really does look like, you know, that they look like Ua and Yasa are the likeliest. I mean, even just from like who's, you know, who the big characters are on the show.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Here's one from Julian. Erica seemed to blow up her spot in the tribe by throwing out Sydney's name. Is it always a mistake to throw out a name before losing your first immunity challenge? Steven, is there a hard and fast rule about this?
No. But I actually think the opposite. I think you kind of want to have like some targets ready to go. I mean, it probably will change a billion times anyway. You know, it just like circles from person to person. Mm-hmm. I did think like there was something I'm trying to like figure out, like, what was Erica's mistake? Did Erica make a mistake? Obviously we see her target someone, you know, to one of that person's allies. So like, yes, she made a mistake, but like, you know, when you're out there, like you think everyone is your ally. I just like, maybe she should have said to Deshaun, who do you think, you know, right? Like that's what Erica mm-hmm. should have done. Like say to Deshaun, who do you think we should vote out? You know, are you thinking of targeting anybody? Cause I'm along for the ride. You know, I think when you are not the person who is like in the close knit group, you really need to kind of listen and try to get other people to suggest names. You don't want to be the one throwing out names in general.
Yeah, and it seems like from what we've seen that Sydney and Danny and Deshaun are like have somewhat of a relationship. So maybe that was the mistake for Erica to think that Deshaun would be open to getting rid of Sydney.
Right, right. She just must have not known that, you know, and I think, you know, this is like the sort of ineffable survivor skill is like having an accurate read on your perception in the tribe. It's mm-hmm. super hard. And on other people's, you know, and how other people are perceived. Like I remember, I don't know, in my season, I thought like Tasha was like beloved by everyone. And I learned that that was not the case. But like, you just like, it's so hard to like accurately read how other people, both yourself and other people are, you know, their relative positions. Because you come in so much with your own biases, you know, and your own thought patterns. And like, so it's like really hard to like step outside of that.
Okay, Steven, what does Michael have to say?
Michael Rowe wants to know, why does Sean trust Richard so much? Shan trust... wow. Why does Shan trust Ricardo so much? He's playing the strongest game alongside Shan. He's sitting back and watching Shan pick off every single player that she is aligned with. Very smart of Ricard. What do you think about Sean and Richard?
Yeah. So, why does she trust Ricard so much? I think that Ricard is a smooth operator. I think he knows the game very well. I think that, you know, him and Shan, I think, are on the same wavelength strategically and are, you know, like very, you know, a good pair. Ricard has not done anything to make Shan not trust him.
Yeah, I think like your point earlier about her wanting to play with people who are like not messy, it was very correct. You know, Ricard is not messy. He's, you know, very smooth. You know, he's very, you know, poker faced. He's not going to like go off blurting some like crazy strategic thing right. to some other group. He's not going to be like running up and down the beach, like doing hijinks, you know, mm-hmm. As fun as that is for the viewers. I think if that's your ally, you're like, oh my God, I don't want to be a part of this mess.
Based off of like what we know, Shan told Ricard that Brad was spying on him. And did Ricard go back to camp and blow things up? No. When I asked Brad in his exit interview, he said that he didn't even know that Ricard had known that he had spied on him in the episode. So I think that, you know, Ricard is somebody that can, you know, keep his cards close to the vest. And I think that Shan appreciates that.
No, so the other side of that question was, is like, how good is Ricard playing this game, watching Shan pick off her other allies one by one? I mean, is the question like Shan should be nervous of someone who is so devious, or is the question, you know, isn't Ricard playing an awesome game as he convinces Shan to betray her other allies?
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting, like in the pre-merge game, to say like, okay, Shan has been playing, you know, one of the best games this season. But like if Jeannie gets voted out next, it's like, who's going to know? Like, Shan can get to the end. It's like, yeah, I got out. I got out, Sarah and Brad and JD and Jeannie. And it's like, yeah, well, we didn't know those people.
Yeah.
I'll take your word for it. Okay.
Yeah. It really is.
It's almost like it doesn't count.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And if it doesn't happen after the merge, it doesn't matter in Final Tribal.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's take a question from Paige. What do you guys think the over-under is on how many people will actually use the shot in the dark die this season? Steven, I was a little disappointed we didn't even get it yet tonight.
I know. I really thought Jeannie was going to use it. I mean, I guess whatever Shan said was, convincing enough to Jeannie. But I really, really thought that it made sense for her to use it in this episode. Are we ever going to see it? Like when the merge comes,
I think we have to see it.
Someone is going to play it, like, because if their alliance is getting picked off.
Yeah. If Uwa goes to tribal council next week, like, we definitely see it.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But then the chance of it actually having an impact on the game is pretty small. You know, if the person actually drawing the mm-hmm. safety. So,
why do you feel like the impact will be small?
No, no. I mean, just it's unlikely, right? Like a 1 in 6 shot of drawing the
16.666666667.
Wow. It's interesting that you chose to draw the line there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the 10,000th place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Little- All right. We have a question from Steve. Is this from you?
Yeah. Hey, why didn't Jeannie and JD vote together and use JD's extra vote to blindside Ricard?
You see, Steve, Shan had the extra vote.
Yeah. But JD didn't have to give Shan the extra vote. He could have used it to vote out Ricard.
I mean, they could have tied the vote.
I think that JD thought that they were with him.
No, because I'm sorry. They, no, so he would have. They, I mean, they would have had three. But I think that JD, like, he's playing a big game. He's playing an aggressive game. He's not going to use his extra vote on day eight.
And he's not. And I just don't think. I think JD fundamentally thought that he was with Shan and Ricard. You know, he didn't think it wasn't like, I know that they're against me and that they're going to vote off either me or Jeannie. Like, he thought the three of us are voting off her. It wasn't like the two of them are choosing between the two of us. It was like, we as a group are voting off Jeannie. He just didn't realize that he had been, you know, that the, he had been replaced.
Yeah. All right, Steven, anything else about tonight's Survivor that you want to highlight?
I want to highlight something not about Survivor, Rob, but something about you.
Yeah.
You were a guest on one of my favorite podcasts recently.
Yes.
Hollywood Handbook.
Yes.
It's a very, very, very funny podcast, and you were fantastic.
I really appreciate it. Steven sent me a very nice text message the other night, and I'm always so thrilled when I hear from Steven in real life. And they sent me a very nice compliment, and I do, you know, take my podcast appearances very seriously. And so I appreciate you saying that.
Well, it's a tough in it because, like, their type of humor, I feel like, would be very hard to, like, integrate into. You know, it's very, like, a lot of, like, nested jokes, a lot of, like, ironized layers, and you fit right in. I appreciate really, that. You were great.
Yeah, and, Sean is a big Survivor fan, and hopefully we'll hear from him this season talking some Survivor 41.
Oh my God, that's so cool. I'm so envious. Like, I, when Sean shouted out the Survivor Know-It-Alls as part of your bio, I was like, oh my God, this is it. I've made it.
You know? You made it.
Yeah. This is the top. This is as good as it's going to be in my life.
Okay. All right. Steven, thank you so much for that. Let's talk about some other podcasts going on here on Rob's podcast. Tomorrow, we'll hear from JD and see what he has to say about everything. I'm really looking forward to talking with him on this week's Survivor exit interview.
Rob, I know you said you don't have time to do competing Reem impressions, but what if you do the entire podcast as Woo and he does the entire podcast as Reem, therefore like no extra time.
Yes, it's like a woo-woo, a sit down with Woo and Reem together. That would be perfect. Really looking forward to catching up with Parvati tomorrow. Send in your questions. robiswebsite.com/survivorquestions for that. And then a grown-ass man, Rory Freeman, will join me, and we will chat. You'll hear that on Friday night when we drop that episode of the podcast, and then we'll talk about the feedback questions. Send those in. robinswebsite.com/voicemail to Reem Daly. Looking forward to seeing what a Reem that I think she is going to be flattered that JD was talking about her.
Oh, yeah. Who wouldn't be? All any Survivor contestant wants is to be mentioned by future seasons.
Yeah, maybe someday somebody will talk about me on Survivor. Yeah. All right, Steven. So Monday night, I'll be back taking questions. I had a great time with David Bloomberg this past Monday night. For the patrons, you call in. We'll talk face-to-face at robiswebsite.com/patron. LaTanya Starks from Post Show Recaps will be joining me this Monday night. So be on the lookout for that one. Steven, did you hear the news about the wand off?
No.
Yeah, it's coming back. Josh Wendler says it's go time. And we're going to do one a month for October, November, and December. So next week is going to officially be wand off week. So we've got some notes about how to send your wand offs in. If you wanted to get to start working on your wand offs, wandoff@robiswebsite.com. Need those in by October 22nd for next Monday is going to be wand off Monday for October.
I knew he couldn't stay away for too long.
You know what? It's tough. The siren song of the wand off will always lead you back.
Yeah.
So October wand off coming up next week on Rob as a Podcast. Be sure to check out Why Blank Lost with David and Jessica. I'm sure they will get into all of the rules that JD may or may not have followed. And of course, on the B&B, one of the funniest guests you could have, Sasha Joseph, who covers love and hip hop on the reality TV wrap up. So we'll join Mike and Liana to play some games this week. Then, of course, on Survivor Global. Oh, what a duo that Shannon Gus has brought for Survivor Global this week. Two of the greats, Rainier and Amy.
Mm.
Amazing. Okay. Mm. Check that out over on Survivor Global. And then the great Chantel Francis will join Taryn Armstrong on The Stock Watch this week. So check that out. Those are live on Thursday. And speaking of Taryn, he spoke with America's favorite Big Brother house guest, Stephen. Tiffany Mitchell has a deep dive with Taryn Armstrong. You can check out the podcast or watch the video of Taryn talking with America's favorite house guest. It's Tiffany Mitchell. That's up on robswebsite.com. Steven, have you followed Squid Game?
I have been so excited to watch it. Don't spoil anything for me, Rob.
I won't. Yeah, of course, when you get done with it, because we had so much fun talking about The Genius once upon a time.
Yeah, that was so fun.
Yes, on Nothing But Netflix, my brand new podcast with Chappelle, where we're watching something from Netflix every single week. Josh Wigler joined us. We talked about all of season one of Squid Game on the brand new Nothing But Netflix podcast.
So you had so much fun talking with me about The Genius. They were like, I'll go talk to other people about this other show.
Mm-hmm.
That's hurtful.
That's right.
That's hurtful.
Yeah. of course, check out everything we're doing over at robhasawebsite.com/patron. We are dropping the feedback shows early for the patrons, plus the call-in shows. We'll have a patron 5 for 5 with the First Lady of Podcasting, plus everything in our patron community. If you love talking about these shows, come on out and hang out with us at robhasawebsite.com/patron. All right,
Rob. We're saying, can you explain the wand off for new listeners? A lot of people are asking.
Yes. Okay. If anybody doesn't know what the wand off is, that's the Rob is a Podcast song parody contest, originally created by Josh Wigler during season 35, Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers. Rob is a Podcast. The wand off is allows the Rob is a Podcast listeners to show off their musical abilities as Casey Kasem counts down the hits with Josh Wigler on the wand off.
Wow, was that just off the top of your head? It sounded like you were reading copy.
That's it.
Do you just have like a wand off description taped to your wall?
I mean, that's what it is. It's like,
No, but it was so smooth and seamless and in a great radio announcer voice.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Stephen. I appreciate it. You're so...
I mean, I say nice things to you and I don't get invited on the Squid Game podcast.
I mean, look, Stephen, pick out some... What's your favorite show on Netflix? Come and talk to me and Chappelle.
I shouldn't be... No, please don't.
Stephen, you want to do podcasts? We got only about a million to put you on.
No. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have made a joke.
Yeah. You gonna watch The Bachelorette this season?
No, please don't do it,
Stephen. Hop on the Rob's Podcast Discord this Friday. I'll be chatting with the listeners, and some of the podcasters have been stopping by. We're having a lot of fun. Fridays at 4 on the Rob's Podcast Discord. Check us out this Friday, Stephen. And we got some new merch up at robswebsite.com/merch. I demanded, ask anybody that works for Rob as a Podcast, I demanded, we need a bucket hat. And I pounded the table just like so.
That's the fun idea.
Yeah, and until finally, they're like, gee, all right, fine, here's a bucket hat. All right, go to robswebsite.com/merch if you want to check that out. Of course, hit subscribe, and you can follow all of our podcasts when you go to robswebsite.com/subscribe and listen in your favorite podcatcher as well. And of course, then check us out on social media. I took over the Rob is a Podcast Instagram tonight, Stephen.
Wow, you took over your own Instagram.
Took over my own Instagram. I mean, normally my Instagram is at Rob Sesternino, but I was posting all tonight at RHAP Grams. I did a little bit of behind the scenes of what it's like for me watching the shows. I showed this closet that I podcast in.
It must have been so flattering to get the invite.
Yeah, really. But that, it took a while. It took a while for Robin's podcast to ask me, but here we are. And of course, we're on Twitter, Facebook, and my favorite, TikTok. Creating a lot. Stephen, we're going to get you on TikTok.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
My sister-in-law sends me TikTok videos, and it's like a different language. I don't even, it's like, I don't, it's not, I feel like, yeah.
All right. Okay. Stephen, all right. Well, what's next for you?
I'm just going to go to bed, I think.
Okay.
Late. Yeah, it's 10:20.
Yeah. Well, I'm having so much fun. Yeah, you know what? I've been trying to catch up on Succession. Let's see. Maybe it could be another
Succession rewatch.
Succession episode coming up tonight.
Oh, that's fun. I mean, it's hard to go to sleep after that. You want to watch the next one.
Want to watch the next one. Yeah. So, yeah, but having some fun with the First Lady of Podcasting, catching up on. I love it. Well, that's, you know, the highlight of my relationship is when we have a new show.
yeah it's everywhere. It's like
a relationship,
like fresh snow. Yeah, it's like the top of the mountain, and it's like untouched snow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're making good pace with that. But Stephen, mm-hmm. I'm having so much fun catching up with you on Wednesday
great.
Nights. Can't wait to do it again next Wednesday.
Yeah, but obviously not for Squid Game.
Stephen, you want to rewatch Squid Game?
No,
about it?
No, I don't.
Yeah. Okay.
You
give out
really
the Squiddy every week. Who played the best Squid Game?
Is that a meaningful statement within the Squid Game?
It would be for you. That would be your award.
No, I get that. I mean, I get the relevance for me, but like, does it make sense for the TV show?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think that you could pull it off. Yeah. The MVP of each game. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this was a pleasure, Rob, as always. It's super fun.
Yeah.
I'll see you next week.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you all so much for watching. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Support for this podcast comes from our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and it's hard work, but you know it's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too. You're busy enough. Go to geico.com and get a quote and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. Nailed it.
Oh my God, one hour exactly. Wow, that was really impressive.
I really wanted to end it on 59-59.